Hi, I'm Suzanne Lasser, and this is Bilingual in America.
Back in the fall, I had the opportunity to be in conversation with Sue Spiegel and Marla Felton. They spoke to me about Common Circles, their non-for-profit that focuses on increasing empathy, decreasing bias, and exploring our shared humanity. Let's listen in.
So Sue, Marla, welcome.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For having us. We're excited to have a conversation.
What they have to share is directly related to our belief in bilingualism, biculturalism, and the understanding that in this world, there is room for all of us, and through connection, we can thrive that much better. All right, so who would like to begin by sharing a little bit about who you are so that our listeners can get a feel for what you are all about?
Hi, well, I'm Marla Felton. I am the founder of Common Circles. I live in Connecticut. I grew up in St. Louis. I am a mother of two children. I have a daughter who is 23 and my baby boy is 21 somehow. I had a career as an attorney, then took some time off to raise my kids, then founded Common Circles back in 2015.
And I know we're only listening to you guys today, but I do want everyone to know that Sue pointed at Marla, right? Like, you should start, you should start. So
and then
I'll remember that later,
founder.
Sue,
she
right?
Is the founder.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to start.
And then I pointed at Sue because we are partners in a dynamic duo doing this this important work together.
Sue, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the creative director of Common Circles, and I've been working with Marla for about the past 8 years. And before that, I was a television producer, director, and I produced and directed a number of documentaries. And one of them is launched USA Network's anti-hate campaign, and it's called Erase the Hate. So I'm very proud of that, won some awards. But I'm most proud of being the mother of three. I have a daughter who's 27. I have a son who's 25, and I have another son who's 19. And so happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes, we're excited to have you join us. So Yarina and I had the distinct pleasure of being able to work with Sue and Marla as part of our responsibilities in the school district. And so we realized that there definitely is some overlap in our mission on Bilingual in America. And that's why we invited the two of you to join us. So with that in mind, why don't you start by introducing Common Circles in terms of the goals?
Well, Common Circles is a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to increase empathy, decrease bias and anti-Semitism, and help people find their shared humanity, which is more important than ever. We started this in 2015. I have a relative, Martin Greenfield, who is a Holocaust survivor. So he was the inspiration for Common Circles. At that time, actually back in 2013, I was concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism. I always say if I could go back to 2013 with not just anti-Semitism, but racism and hate and polarization, right? I would go back to 2015 from, it's hard to imagine where we are today. But Common Circles, we started by doing research. We researched and wanted to see how could we add something to bringing people together. And so I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. Sue and I went to St. Louis and spent a lot of time on the ground there. And we worked with professors at St. Louis University, Washington University in St. Louis, Kerwin Institute of Race and Ethnicity, among many others. And we found that there were techniques from psychology that can increase empathy and decrease bias. Things like finding commonality, stereotype replacement, intergroup contact. We also, after the shooting of Mike Brown, spent a lot of time in St. Louis. And we went to all sorts of cultural organizations and institutions in St. Louis and spoke with folks who were involved in Forward Through Ferguson. And we asked these places, places where people in St. Louis came together to learn together and to have fun together. What are the types of things that bring people together? So we found it was art and music and game and technology and old-fashioned storytelling. So we thought, well, if we could take these techniques from psychology that have been proven to increase empathy and decrease bias and meld them into types of engagement that people enjoy, art, storytelling, technology, game, then we would have a winning combination. So we did a lot of other projects. We did workshops, we did some pop-up exhibits, but it really all came together in this exhibit that we produced with the partnership of White Plains Public School District this past year. White Plains was an amazing partner for a variety of reasons. We came to White Plains and we spoke to the superintendent and the assistant superintendent, and we said, we'd like to bring this exhibit. We want to transform the hallways and classrooms and media centers of your school district into a museum, a world-class museum. Now, we didn't have pictures of it. It wasn't built. We had our dream boards of it. And Sue and I described it, but White Plains said yes and has continued to say yes and worked with us in partnership to bring this powerful exhibit to your students and your families in the broader community.
You know, they joked with us recently saying we had no idea what we were saying yes to. We're so grateful that they really did take a chance on us. And as Marla said, it turned out to be a winning combination.
Yes, I would definitely say it was a win-win scenario. I would say our students are truly more informed, and I think they received the greatest benefit by having this opportunity. And I want to talk a little bit about what it's like for a student to go into, right, a Common Circles experience. I think it will be helpful if we talked a little bit about the incorporation of the dimensions and testimony and how you feel that plays a part in what you have as the overall Common Circles exhibit.
I think one of the reasons that the experience worked so well is because we didn't just jump right into the dimensions and testimony portion, which is the interactive biography with the Holocaust survivor and the liberator. We started talking about identity and all of our beautiful multi-layered identities and celebrating all of our similarities and commonalities and our differences. And I think that made it easier for students to then go into this dimensions and testimony room and meet our survivor, Anita Lasker Wallfish, and our liberator, Alan Moskin, because yes, they are survivors. She's a Holocaust survivor and he's a Jewish American liberator, but they're so much more than that. She's a gardener. She's a musician. She's a grandmother. She's a friend. She's a sister. And I think the students were able to connect with them on so many more layers than they anticipated, and they learned their stories. And I think that's why it was so powerful.
I would definitely agree. And I want to stick on this topic of storytelling, right? What have you noticed, right? What was, I think, an amazing opportunity or result or outcome that you saw?
Yeah. So as Sue said, we start with self-identity, and we find that by doing that, we teach again about that we all have so many different layers, and we like the word layers rather than labels. There's so many layers to us. And when you're looking at all the things that make you you, you can recognize that when someone meets you, they don't know all of you. Just like you can't judge a book by a cover, when you meet someone, or there's an iceberg, right? You see the top 10% of that iceberg. You don't see what's below. And if I can recognize that when people meet me, they don't know all of me, they have blind spots towards me, then I can pause and know when I meet someone who comes from a different background or has a different idea, that I don't know all of them. And we need to engage in conversation and share our stories. And by sharing our stories, we will find commonalities, points of connection, and understand where we all come from, and hopefully be able to find our shared humanity. And the same goes with the dimensions and testimony. We always say, before, you know, so we start the students in the art and identity exhibit, and then they go where we have partnered with USC Shoah Foundation's Dimensions and Testimony Interactive Biographies. So as Sue mentioned, the students have an opportunity to have a lifelike conversation using artificial intelligence, although it is Anita and Alan's real answers. So the way it works, and Suzanne, you got to experience it with all of the students in the school, but for people listening, USC Shoah Foundation took many people, including Anita and Alan, and sat them in a chair for over 5 days, asked them over 2,000 questions, and they answer. And then the system uses artificial intelligence and algorithm. So when the students ask a question, and it can be a question about anything, their life pre-war, post-war, or during the war, just what are their favorite hobbies? What are their favorite sports teams? And or did they have friends when they were in the concentration camp? They can ask those questions and they get their real answer. And what we tell them when they go to meet Alan and Anita is that Alan and Anita, just like all of us, have many layers. So yes, they are survivors, they are war veterans, but they are so much more than that. They are mothers, they are fathers, they are siblings, they are musicians and sports fans and gardeners. And so the students are able to connect with them. And we did testing because with our work, we want to make sure that we're moving the needle. So we had Professor Alan Marcus come from University of Connecticut School of Education, and he did pretests and post-tests of all the students, and also did focus groups with students and teachers and administrators and even parents. And the data that he came up with showed that one, this exhibit increased empathy, and two, the storytelling was powerful. The storytelling, we know it was powerful because the students afterwards, really, if you ask them what they remembered, they'd repeat the stories they learned from Alan and Anita. Those stories of them talking about their parents, their friends, their siblings, those were the stories that resonated and they remembered them.
When we think about the students and the impact and hearing that, right, there's greater empathy and this importance of storytelling. That is essential, right? Especially as I think about our young people. And I know that in this case, you have been really focused on, you know, World War II and the atrocities of the Holocaust, and looking at it from different perspectives in terms of, you know, a liberator from the military, right, from the US side, and also a survivor. Have you thought about other examples of atrocities in the world that you might in the future expand the conversation on and bring heightened awareness to?
We would love for there to be broader conversations with people from other genocides and survivors. USC Shoah Foundation has started to do that. I believe they have interviewed somebody from the Cambodian genocide in this way, using this artificial intelligence and a few others. But they're really, right now, they're focused on Holocaust survivors since they are aging out.
We absolutely want to bring the stories of so many people to this type of exhibit. And in addition to being an exhibit, we also bring with us and plan to bring with us an educational program. And as far as that educational program, there's pre-curriculum and post-curriculum and also professional development. And the goal of the exhibit is for everyone to share their stories. So even though the subject matter of the interactive biographies is Holocaust, the scope of the project is so much broader than that. The name of the exhibit, when we were in White Plains, is We Are White Plains, right? The goal is really to foster a community of belonging. And that's one where every individual, from the students to the teachers to the visitors, every person who comes into the community feels seen, heard, valued, appreciated. And we always told the students when we docented this experience that we hope by learning Alan and Anita's story, and then we also incorporated stories of local survivors, we hope that the students were inspired to really learn more about their story, their family story, bring those stories back to school and share their stories and learn the stories of everyone in the community. All of our stories are valuable and important and must be shared. And the act of sharing them is what's going to foster empathy and allow us to see our shared humanity.
You know, there are a few things that you share that really just resonate, right? And many of our listeners are in the field of education. So when you talk about pre and post activities and linking it to education, as you're talking about stories, I'm thinking about personal narratives. And it's so important for students, right, to talk about who they are and to be able to share and give voice. In this day and age, there are many ways to do that, right? When we were growing up, it was just by paper and pen. But now there are ways for students to share their stories through video. We don't want to limit it. And this is when we think about language learning and connection, right? There are opportunities. So even for students who English may not be their first language, or they're trying to improve their second language, even if their first language is English and they're learning a new language, there are plenty of opportunities to take this information in and then build upon that through a variety of media. Last year, it was so impressive to see our students engage in different ways and connect with different aspects of the Common Circles experience. Some students definitely were interested in the dimensions and testimony. Some of them even came back during lunch and recess or for the evening event. Some of them asked questions publicly. Others wanted to do it a little more privately because they were shy. There were other students who really liked seeing the different representations through visual images, right, where our staff and community members and even local politicians participated in different looks. Even though the presentation was all in English, we had our bilingual social studies classes come down and the teachers facilitated with the students how to engage and how to show parallels between some of the experiences that they read about and heard about. For example, there were direct correlations for some of our students who had recently arrived and perhaps been separated from loved ones at the border. And that was similar to what we heard about the kinder transport. There are experiences, many sadly that I say our students have had in terms of racism or fear of being the other and an unwelcome experience just because of one layer of identity, which goes back to, you know, what you were talking about. So it was impressive to see our youngest students navigate through this. What has been the most rewarding outcome of your work thus far?
I would love to share one particular story. And I think it's really the impact that it had on the students and seeing the change in them. And even some students admitting that they were Holocaust deniers. And through these conversations and the storytelling with Alan and Anita, they changed their perspective. They opened their hearts and minds. Those seeing these children grow and take chances. It's just beautiful. And I loved being in the classroom.
Yes, we loved it. It was really being with the students. And our bilingual classes, our English language learner classes, were some of our favorite. Yep. Again, students who weren't so comfortable speaking English or were shy to do it. This amazing technology brought to us by USC Shoah Foundation was so exciting for the students that they couldn't wait to ask questions. So when we were doing the bilingual classes, the students, some of them came in and they prepared questions in English and they would ask them, but then they wanted to have more conversation. So then they would ask their teacher in Spanish the question that they wanted. And then she would tell them how to say it in English and they would say it. And to watch them have conversation and connect over the immigration stories that they heard from Alan and Anita and feel that connection through the storytelling, I do believe that we changed hearts and minds and that we got people seeing one another. And in these days and these recent days, where we see that people are not seeing each other's humanity, I think that these students and the ability to interact and bring this exhibit and this educational program to students is what's really getting Sue and I through this time.
It is a powerful tool, an essential tool, if we want to engage students in learning, in thinking, in conversation, in reflection. We have to move beyond the traditional means. Mm-hmm. What else? What more? And that is exactly what the two of you have done. And so here on Bilingual in America, our hashtag is Speak Your Beauty. I think the two of you have found more than one way to speak your beauty and help others listen and learn about the beauty of one another. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for helping students and all those who partake in Common Circle's experience to increase their empathy, decrease bias, and explore the possibilities of a shared humanity. Please tell us where our listeners can find you, either through social media or a website, so that they can get more information.
Our Instagram, which is brand new, is common.circles. And also you can reach us at info@commoncircles.org.
Okay, I'll have to make sure to start following you on Instagram. And I want to once again thank Sue Spiegel, Marla Felton of Common Circles for joining us here today on Bilingual in America.
Thank you so much for having me.